ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 70। इट्स क्वाइट अ लॉन्ग चैप्टर। यू डोंट यूजुअली हैव 70 वर्सेस इन वन चैप्टर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। For vidya cha vipranam, nishreyasa kare ubhe, nishreyasa kare ubhe, ta eva durvinitasya, ta eva durvinitasya, kalpete kartur anyata. Yeah, just waving it isn't much use. If you see a fly, hit the fly with it. Tapo vidya cha vipranam, nishreyasa kare ubhe, not nishreyasya. Nishreyasa, not asya. Ta eva durvinitasya.
Ta eva durvinitasya.
Kalpete karturanyatha.
Kalpete karturanyatha.
Okay. Translation. For a brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Purport. It is said that a jewel is very valuable, but when it is on the hood of a serpent, it is dangerous despite its value. Similarly, when a materialistic non-devotee achieves great success in learning and austerity, that success is dangerous for all of society. So-called learned scientists, for example, invented atomic weapons that are dangerous for all humanity. It is therefore said, Manina bhushita sarpa kimasau na bhayankaraha. A serpent with a jewel on its head is as dangerous as a serpent without such a jewel. Durvasa Muni was a very learned brahmana, equipped with mystic power, but because he was not a gentleman, durvinit means not a gentleman, he did not know how to use his power. He was therefore extremely dangerous. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never inclined toward a dangerous person who uses his mystic power for some personal design. By the laws of nature, therefore, such misuse of power is ultimately dangerous not for society, but for the person who misuses it. This verse is from the section of Bhagavatam, which describes Durvasa's anger at Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa's ultimately seeking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And this verse is from the instructions of Lord Vishnu to Durvasa Muni. Krishna is known as Brahmanyadev. Namo Brahmanyadeva Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Chajagati Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So he likes brahmanas. Brahmana, their qualities are mentioned here. Tapaha, vidya, austerity, and learning. Austerity doesn't mean karshayanta sharira, not torturing the body, but performing austerity suitable for spiritual advancement. And vidya means Veda vidya. So Krishna, he likes this, because the Vedic culture is maintained primarily by the example and the guidance given by brahmanas. But just prior to this, Bhagavan has stated to Durvasa, Sadhavo hridayo mahyang sadhu nang hridayang tvaham madanyate na jananti nahang te bhyomanagabhi. That the sadhus, understood here as the pure devotees, because the referent is Ambarish Maharaj. The sadhus are always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in their heart. They don't know anything but me, and I don't know anything but them. Durvasa felt himself to be invincible. He's a brahmana, he's austere, he's learned. Lord Vishnu protects the brahmanas, and he has his own protection in the form of an austerity and mystic power. He's highly respected. In fact, Srila Prabhupada initiated one devotee in Australia with the name Durvasa Muni Das and said, we also offer respect to him. He's a great personality. To Durvasa Muni. But from this whole incident, it's clear that Krishna likes the pure devotees more than someone who would normally be respected for being very religious. If someone is respected for being very religious, but they're not a devotee, they don't invoke the same feeling in the heart of Bhaktavatsala Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, who is inclined to protect his devotees. They're such persons don't invoke the same feeling in the heart of Bhagavan. So generally, a brahmana is considered, he is the topmost class in human society. But there are many verses which brahmanas learn many verses, but there are many verses they don't like also, such as, what is that? Shadkarma nipano vipra mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnava guru na set vaishnava svapacha guru. That a brahmana may be very expert in all the activities mentioned in the Vedas for material elevation. He may know all the mantras and may be very expert in chanting mantras and expert in tantra, executing various rituals. But if he's not a Vaishnav, he's not fit to be a guru. But if someone is born in a family of dog eaters, then he's a guru if he's a Vaishnava. And there are many such statements in Shastra. Viprad vishada guna yuta aravindana abha vimukat swapachan varishto. Next line, pranan punati. Pranan punati natu. Sakulam natu purimana. Actually, this fourth line. What's the third line? Vishadagun aravindana abha vimukat swapachan. Then. Manyeta darpita mano vachane hitartha pranam punarati sakulam natu purimana. So if someone, even if a brahmana, he's actually qualified in many ways, being decorated with the 12 qualities of a brahmana. What are the 12 qualities? Then we have Shamo Dhamma Tapasho Cham Kshantir Arjuram Evacha Gyanam. Oh, that's only 9. What happens? The 12 qualities. This refers to a Mahabharata verse from the Sanat Sujatya, one section of the Mahabharata. 12 qualities mentioned. He may actually have all those qualities, but if he's inimical to Krishna, then he can't even purify himself. What to speak of others? Brahmana is known as Shukla, white, or pure, Shuddha. But he can't even purify himself properly. But someone who is born in the lowest position, but he is a devotee, he purifies not only himself, but others also. So there are many such verses. And we have a demonstration here that Durvasa, he's a great yogi, very capable. He can do all kinds of things, very intelligent. And Ambarish, he's also in a high position, but as a kshatriya and as a grihastha, his religious position is not anywhere near as high as that of Durvasa. But he's actually more spiritually advanced, which we can see that Ambarish, he's actually very austere also in performing his Ekadashi fast. That was considered normal until recently, that people would just fast on Ekadashi from water, everything. That was a very common thing. So he has some austerity, but Durvasa deliberately, he wanted to make a situation to mess up Ambarish's performance of Ekadashi, which he'd been doing as a vow for a year. So Ambarish found a way out of that, not to try to annoy Durvasa, but to try to keep Durvasa happy and follow his vow also. He drank a little water. But Durvasa was just looking. Chidran Veshan, that's called. Have you heard this word? Chidran Veshan. Just looking for means literally looking for a hole or a crack. Just looking for some fault. And then he became very angry at Ambarish. But Ambarish was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra, and so the demon that Durvasa created to kill Ambarish couldn't be effective, and the Sudarshan Chakra started chasing Durvasa, who became very afraid. You see, Ambarish didn't become afraid when there was a demon coming to attack him, but Durvasa became very afraid, which shows that actually, even in this practical test, he wasn't so very advanced. So, in Vedic society, brahmanas are respected, but at the same time, we should know that not everyone who's born in a brahmana family is necessarily pure, even if they are intelligent and qualified in so many ways. In fact, there's a verse in the Varaha Purana, which is often quoted by Vaishnavas, which many brahmanas don't like. It's quoted in Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam, chapter 4, text 21, verse 40. I'll read this. According to the Varaha Purana, demons taking advantage of Kali Yuga have taken birth in brahmana families. Rakshasa kalim ashritya jayante brahma yonishu. In other words, in this age there are many so-called caste brahmanas and caste goswamis who, taking advantage of the shastra and of the innocence of people in general, claim to be brahmanas and Vaishnavas by hereditary right. One will not derive any benefit by rendering service to such brahmana kulas. So if someone claims, I am a brahmana just on the basis of birth, you better be careful, because they might be a demon posing as a brahmana. And so we can see by the qualities. Brahmana, he may be learned in shastra, but we have to see by his behavior also. Many symptoms of demons are given in Bhagavad Gita, and we have to judge by that. Now, it may not just be only in the dress of brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada in this purport extrapolates that brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and else someone may be apparently a Vaishnava, but not actually a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada writes, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 1, text 218, purport. A mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. So it's clear. Someone's dressed as a Vaishnava, but from his behavior you can understand that he's not really a Vaishnava. This is enjoined in the Shastra, Upeksha. The word Upeksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendship with Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious or jealous. There are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement. There you go. Many jealous persons in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. When Narottam Das Thakur says, Charya Vaishnava Shiva Nishta Payache Kiba, he is indicating an actual Vaishnava, not an envious or jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava. Who are all those many people? Prabhupada, he didn't reject many of his disciples, just two or three, but he said, but he says there are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas. And again, Prabhupada writes, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. Yeah, that's quite common to see that someone has a temple. You'll see in all different sampradayas, they have a temple, it's their family temple, and they maintain their family. So their main purpose in having the temple is to maintain their family. So they're like karmis. Or they may become a beggar to fill their belly. There are various ways in which people can fulfill their material purposes by being dressed as a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada continues here, this is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. No. It's from Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 9, Text 28, purport. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yajñātart karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanah. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence. And then, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary on Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khanda, Chapter 16, Text 229, it is to be understood that those who artificially imitate the transcendental activities of the Mahabhagavata Vaishnava with the desire to accumulate mundane fame as a devotee have no attitude of service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Although in order to gratify their own material senses, they proudly accept the dress of devotees, their artificial external exhibition of devotional symptoms is simply meant to cheat people. Pure devotion to Krishna is present wherever the symptoms of dharma-dvajis, vaidala-vratis, and bhaka-vratis are absent, and pride, duplicity, and extraneous motives are present wherever such faults are found. These are technical terms. Dharma-dvaji means one who makes a show of being religious, but he's not actually religious. Bhaka-vrati means someone who's like a heron who stands very still and looks like a yogi meditating, but his real purpose is to catch the fish in the water below him. So he'll be very standing very still, but that's so the fish don't think he's a living being. And Vaidal, I think this is meant to be Biral. I think it's a misspelling here. That should be the cat, someone who's like a cat. This story of the heron and the story of the cat is from, both are recorded in Mahabharata. The cat became old and he couldn't catch the mice, so he became a yogi. And he was just sitting and meditating, and all the mice became very curious. Why is he sitting and meditating? He said, you see, now I've become old, I realize that all this catching mice and killing, it's not good. Now in my last stage of life, I want to be a yogi. So the mice trusted him, and they became his disciples, and one by one, sometimes they'd come alone, and he'd just, they'd come up to him, trusting him, and he'd pop them in his mouth, and then again he'd be meditating. So in this way, he adopted just like the heron was like a meditator, and the cat became like a yogi, but their purpose was to exploit others. So, jealous persons in the dress of Vaishnavas, mundane persons, envious persons in the dress of Vaishnavas, karmis who want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, these are very heavy statements. They artificially imitate the transcendental activities of the Mahabhagavat Vaishnava with the desire to accumulate mundane fame. They want to be known as a great devotee, but they have no attitude of service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But if you're a devotee, that means you have an attitude of service. So they dress as devotees, they may talk as devotees, they may talk. Yes, it's all for the pleasure of Guru Maharaj or whatever. But they have their own, it's all simply meant to cheat people. They proudly accept the dress of devotees. So we have to see, we should be very careful, because we can be misled by someone who is externally working like a devotee, but his attitude is actually different. He's not actually doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. We'll see in the character, as described, I was going to read that in Bhagavad Gita, the introduction to the qualities or the bad qualities of the demons is introduced. Dambho darpo bhimanascha krodhaf parusham evacha agyanam cha bhijatasya partha sampadam asurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. So such qualities, they're exactly the opposite to those we'd expect of devotees. Devotee is just the opposite. He's amanina manadena. This is the quality of a devotee. He doesn't want to take credit for him. He doesn't like to be praised, but he likes to offer respect to others. But the demoniac persons, they're proud, arrogant, and so on. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, in this verse, the royal road to hell is described. The demoniac want to make a show of religion, so they might appear to be very religious. But it's a show. Somehow they have the idea to adopt being religious, apparently religious, as a way to win other people's confidence so that they can exploit them, just like the cat or the heron. They make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. Well, Srila Prabhupada here talks about... Sit straight. Srila Prabhupada here talks about in the Krishna conscious movement. So at least in our movement in general, if one has to follow the principles, the basic principles, to remain within it. But still, if one is following, at least is thought to follow the four basic principles, but he can still be arrogant, proud, conceited, and so on. They, the demons, are always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education or so much wealth. So these things are very dangerous. To have learning can be very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada quotes this here. What is that? Manina? I read that. What is that? These are all Manina bhushita sarpa kemasao na bhayankaraha. Someone may be like a snake in their mentality, but they have a gem on their head. So they're still very dangerous. The snake is very dangerous. I think you'll all be more aware of that after this morning's scorpion bite incident. There's scorpions and snakes, many scorpions and snakes. And was it last night a snake was killed? Last night, the night before? Day before, yeah. There was a black snake. They're very dangerous, those black snakes, is it? They're the most dangerous. If you're bitten by that, that's it. That's it this time round. And it's Dehanta Prapti. So, very dangerous. But if a snake has a gem on its head, you may think, oh, that's good. But it's not good. It's more dangerous because you become attracted. You're looking at the gem, you don't realize, oh, there's a snake underneath it. And become attracted to it. And you say, it's a snake, but it's got a gem. So don't make Vaishnava aparad. Well, actually, he's a Vaishnava. He's got tilak, he's initiated, he's a guru. Don't make offenses. But wait a minute, they're supposed to not dress as a Vaishnava. They may even talk as a Vaishnava, but in their character is seen. If it's seen, Dambo, Darpa, Abhimana, Krodha, all these, they're always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education. It may be mundane education. Someone has their visiting card and their name is there. In fact, someplace a little north of here, there's someone who's an initiated devotee who gives everyone his visiting card. It's not a single card, it's double folding one, because he has so many FRACS, PhD, so many of these things that he needs a double card to fit all the things in. We don't know whether they're true or false, or how you could get so many degrees in one lifetime, I don't know. But he may have joined so many, it might be something like RCVP, what does that mean? Rotary Club Vishakhapatnam. He could just join different things to get things on his name. Anyway, he's a... And some people, they get in and say, what's this? What is this? What is this? Why is he advertising himself so much? But some people get impressed by it. Foolish people. So, educate Monday, or even one can be, learning shloka. Yes, I know so many shlokas. Or I have my bhakti vaibhav. I passed the exam. So any kind of learning, actual learning should bestow upon us, what is that? Vidyadadati vinayam. It should bestow humility to learning me, to understand I'm completely insignificant. One should become humble. But instead, if one becomes durvinit, that is the opposite. One who has got vinayam, humility, he should become vinit. Thinking himself below others. But durvinit is the word used in this verse. It means arrogant, haughty, and so on. So, or wealth. Wealth is also very dangerous. All these things. What is it? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dinere yodhik doya kare bhagavan kulin pandit dhani bharo abhiman. Bhagavan is very merciful to those who are considered very low in human society, because those who have born in a high family, those who are very learned, those who are very wealthy, they also tend to be very proud. Someone can be learned, wealthy, and from a high-class family and still be a devotee, but the tendency is there to become proud, and if one becomes proud, then he doesn't get Krishna's mercy. Krishna doesn't like this pride. So, Brahmanas, they're considered highest, but if they become proud of that, or someone, in the modern day especially, if one has some mundane degree from some university is considered, oh, very, very high, very big. But these are not, it's not simultaneous with being a Vaishnava. One may be a Brahmana in the highest situation, in the highest class in society, and may be doing puja and so many things. But if in his heart, if he doesn't have an attitude of service to the Supreme Lord, then Krishna is not actually pleased with him, even though he may appear to be very religious. So they, the demons, desire to be worshipped by others. Sometimes it can be very gross. Someone has to tell, I'm just like a guru or something like this. They desire to be worshipped by others. And demand respectability, although they do not command respect. So this is another important point, that someone who's actually respectable, he doesn't have to tell others that you respect me. I'm so great. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I. He doesn't have to do that. Others automatically offer respect. But anyway, a real devotee, he doesn't want respect anyway. He's obliged to accept that respect and offer it up to others to uphold the Vaishnava etiquette. Although some, especially the Babajis who are not preaching, they avoid that also, so that others will not respect. Gorkishodas Babaji Maharaj lived in a toilet because he thought people think, oh, that's an impure place, and then they won't come to see him. But those who are preachers, they have to adopt some measure of social etiquette. So they may accept respect. But then others seeing that, they may think, why is he he's being respected? I want to be respected too. So I'll become a preacher. Then I'll be respected. Oh, beware of such preachers who are preaching so that not because they want to benefit the others or serve their own guru and the parampara, but because they want the respect that comes with the preacher. Or they see that people respect and they follow him, and they say, I also want to be, then I'll be in, so many people will follow me. Oh, it'd be so good. And then they imitate the preacher, but they don't actually have the motive to benefit others, although they may imitate that. But their real aim is ultimately to exploit them. So you have to be very careful, very careful. Over trifles, they, the demons, become very angry and speak harshly, not gently. They do not know what should be done and what should not be done. They do everything whimsically according to their own desire, and they do not recognize any authority. These demoniac qualities are taken on by them from the very beginning of their bodies in the wombs of their mothers. And as they grow, they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. Well, Hare Krishna. Well, we have to seek out the association of devotees very carefully, those who are actually interested to serve Krishna without any personal motive. It may not even be very obvious in the beginning that someone is actually self-interested, because they see how the actual pure devotees act, and they imitate that because they think, I want the respect that pure devotees get. I want the power that they have. Actually, pure devotees have some power in the matter. If others follow them, then they have power. And others want that, and they see it's a good device to control others and exploit them and be respected by them and build up their own name and fame and maybe money also. So it may not be obvious in the beginning, because they're good at imitating the activities of actual devotees. They may learn how to speak like a devotee. Yes, yes, we're doing this all for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. But their motive is different. So Srila Prabhupada, his method for keeping the movement pure is that everyone should rise early, attend Mangalarti, chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulated principles, and this, attend the classes, all these things. These things will help to keep people pure. But if someone does all that just for a show, then they may also be giving the class, but the class is a major forum for them to project their so-called saintliness and learning, and to tell people or how to invoke respect in others, or to tell them that I'm a Brahmin, I'm a guru, I'm a great Vaishnava, and this and that. Or they may tell stories of Prabhupada. Yes, I was with Prabhupada, I was with Guru Maharaj. just to give importance to themselves. So we have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. It may be someone gets power by following sadhana also, just like Durvasa Muni got power by performing austerities. So someone may get power by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and following sadhana, although their intentions are not good. Although even in their own mind, they won't admit, they can't understand that it's not good, because everyone thinks, I'm good. So we have to be careful. It's spiritual science, we have to study very carefully. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this place? Yeah. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in devotional service. To be in Krishna consciousness. And devotional service. But at heart they do not accept Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Well, that's a relief if we're hoping to go back to Godhead. Yeah, it's from the Moghasha Mogha Karmano, this verse. Heavy statements, but there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Then, are you want to add to that? Actually, in this regard, it seems to refer to one devotee in particular, who Prabhupada, after he passed away, said he went back to Godhead. Although all the time Prabhupada had said he was envious, he was exhibiting symptoms of envy. But Srila Prabhupada, in his personal dealings with him, he was always very respectful to him. He said ultimately he went back to Godhead. So even by imitating devotional service, then living in the Dham, about that particular devotee, Prabhupada said he never chanted a round in his life. He never chanted any japa. You know, he had his hand in his bead bag all the time. But others saw him differently. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur himself, when others criticized that devotee, he was very defensive of him. He's not known. There became some point where apparently, although it's not in writing, but he did become very disappointed with him. Anyway, it's a complex history. Even imitating devotional service can be helpful, as in the case of Putana. She ultimately got the mercy of Krishna, but we want a movement of Yashodas, not of Putanas. Real devotees who really care for Krishna. So there may be others. There's some demoniac scholars who blaspheme Krishna. Or within our movement, there may be those who take the Shastra and they try to squeeze out some other meaning. Some article came out maybe a little more than a year ago. It was in the name of two devotees, and then later some, but it was understood they don't have that knowledge of Sanskrit to make such an article. So then someone else who was a self-made Sanskrit scholar within ISKCON, he said, I made the article, but actually I think he borrowed it from, he took it from someone else. I doubt if he did so much research. So all these obscure shastras and some quotes taken out of context to show that in the so-called Vedic age, women were equal to men. But then someone else wrote a refutation, who's a devotee within the movement, and said that these are all out of context and misinterpreted, and even the quote is not there, and so many things. It was a really, it was a made-up presentation, which is not actually according to Shastra. So to misrepresent Shastra for some political agenda, that's demoniac, isn't it? There's an example. But the Vaishnavas in whom that's mentioned, they're very, in their general behavior, they're very gentlemanly and Vaishnav-like. But then, how can they bring out such a thing? It means they're envious of Krishna's actual Vedic culture. So many things are going on. Just like at the present time, this book of mine, Women, Masters, or Mothers, I'm invoking so many angry responses. I'm pretty sure that those who are angry with it never read it. If they don't like it, then let them write something in rebuttal. But they're telling our devotees distributing, I'll break your head. But then if you said it to them, then they'll say, oh, you can't say it to a woman. They can, anyway, I don't want to go on about this. Yeah.
What is the beauty of the people who are brought to Krishna consciousness by such type of people?
People are brought to Krishna consciousness by such type of people. Their duty is to neglect them. When I first joined the movement, the leader in the temple was charismatic. I wasn't attracted to him actually, and eventually he left and went off to India, taking so many men with him. I was asked, I want to join. No, I didn't want to join. It's depending on our intentions, we'll be attracted to different kind of people. It may take some time to understand also, but when you understand someone is on the wrong path, then you should leave them. But generally those who come to something like Krishna consciousness through such people, their whole conception of Krishna consciousness is wrong from the very beginning. They mix up Krishna consciousness with non-Krishna consciousness in so many ways. It's a major part of bringing people to Krishna consciousness in India at the present time, to get involved with people's material needs and try to help them in their job and this and that, but help them to get through their studies and look after them. But it becomes, in people's minds, it becomes mixed up what is true compassion and bodily compassion. And what is service to Vaishnavas? There's so much emphasis on health of Vaishnavas and this and that, but it's all right. That should be there, but it's the real compassion is helping people to come up in Krishna consciousness. Not that we try to make their material situation very nice first, and then we'll give them Krishna consciousness. It's very subtle, so it may be difficult to see. We should have a local fakir here, someone who knows what to do when the scorpion bites. What kind of... In the villages in Bangladesh and all the people there, they'd never seen these Western-style doctors. They'd never seen that kind of medicine. If they get bitten by a snake, then the fakir comes. Usually a Muslim, but they can understand by that. Actually, they were doing the same thing when they're Hindus, and then the whole caste gets converted. So, they have different things they'll do. Some of them call the snake back, and the snake puts his mouth in the wound and sucks out the poison again. And all kinds of things they do. Are they some medicine? They know what to do. They must, so yeah. You should contact one of them or learn it, because nowadays they'll be losing all those things. They know some. Get some grass, put it on the shield, get out the juice, apply it. So they know what to do. Generally, the snake bite is in the foot, and the first thing you have to do is tie it up very tight above the wound to stop the blood flowing around the body as far as possible. To restrict, you can't stop it, but to restrict it. So most of the year there'll be many scorpions here. It's hot and dry, huh? That's what they love. And shoes are very dangerous. These shoes which completely cover the foot, they like to go inside them. So when you put them on, then you can get bitten by the scorpion. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, that's from the beginning, yeah. Abhijatasya, of those who are born with such qualities. Means it's carried over from previous life.
So, if the demons were born in the Brahmana families, because the Brahmanas neglected the Garbhadhana Samskara?
Because why are they born in Brahmana families? Because the Brahmanas neglected the Garbhadhana Samskara. Maybe, yeah. Maybe. That's specifically described elsewhere, that many demons who were not killed by Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna, they lived on. So they still maintained an attitude of enmity toward Krishna. So they took birth in Brahmana family. This verse is quoted in Bengal, because there's a lot of Shakta Brahmanas were very much against the Vaishnavas, and it's often quoted also in South India, in relation to the followers of Shankaracharya, the Smartas.
So, if our woman,
they may follow the Garbhadhan, but they don't do it properly, and it's very difficult to do anything properly in Kali Yuga. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has analyzed in that essay, Brahmana or Vaishnava. It's practically the proper pure line of Brahmanas nowadays. It's practically impossible. Someone at some point made some mistake. Recently, one godbrother told me he had visited, it was actually a Jain Gurukul. He seems to be very, using a lot of the Vedic knowledge, because actually the Jains, they took, Jains and Buddhists, they took all Vedic knowledge anyway. So he was told there by the Jain Rishi, who's in charge, don't do that, that formally the test, if a boy is fit to be in the Gurukul, they recite one verse, he has to recite it back. 100 verses, he has to just hear it and speak it. If not, they understood that somewhere in their line the samskaras have become broken. They're not fit to be in the Gurukul. Where is that person nowadays? It means that every Brahmana was, even before Gurukul training, was supposed to be a Shutidha. And you'll see, it said that women don't take education, but they're they'll be living in the house where education is going on, where Vedic mantras are chanted. So they also know the mantras. They're not supposed to chant them loudly with omkar. They can chant without omkar. But I saw in one Gurukul in Sri Rangam, that the wife of the guru, she must have been at the time about, I don't know, 50 or 60 or so, she would chant all the mantras just in discussion, where the discussion is going on. She knows all the mantras. I mean, she would have never been systematically taught, but she hears and intelligent, and they pick it up also. Just like the Rukmini, she knew how to drive the horses of the chariot. So she picked it up. It's not actually a kshatriya's duty, but they also have to learn how to do it. For when their charioteer is disabled. Or they may ride horses themselves. That's generally in Vedic culture, we don't hear much about that, riding horses directly. Usually it's with a chariot. So anyway, there are so many points in Vedic culture. But all right, we may take one question more and then finish. You had a question?
You were mentioning actually about the tendency to be proud.
How to not be proud? What are you proud about?
That comes
from Whatever you have to be proud about is nonsense. You have nothing to be proud about. Pride is simply foolishness. It's absolute. No one has anything to be proud about. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned sometimes, one should not be proud for borrowed plumes. If you take a peacock's feather and put it on your head, you think, now I look so beautiful. But it's the peacock's beauty, not your beauty. So everything we take for... The biggest man, Brahma, thought, I'm Brahma. Ah, I'm Brahma. Tell Krishna, Brahma has come. Which Brahma? What do you mean, which Brahma? He saw so many Brahmas, so much bigger than him. So if you get to the position of Brahma, you might start to think you have some reason to, some grounds to become proud. Otherwise, we're all tiny, tiny living beings. Studying history is good. That means studying Puranas, Mahabharata, or even mundane history. So many people have come and gone and been big men, all forgotten. Koto chatur anana mori mori jautu. How many Brahmas have come and gone and died? Everyone's insignificant. Okay, give that. You have a plate for us? Try to keep plastic out of your life as much as possible. Apart from the fact that it's too small, it's plastic also. Anyway, I don't know how many... You're definitely not Shruti Da. I have to tell you these things again and again and again.